What about paganism? Disc 2, Idolatry in the Apostolic Period. Paganism and idolatry were major issues throughout the Bible, yet it is often difficult to figure out how to practically apply these teachings today. In the previous lecture, we took an in-depth look at the issues of Avodah Zarah, foreign worship, in the Hebrew Scriptures. We examined both the history of Israel as well as numerous commandments related to prohibiting idolatry. We will now build upon the foundation that we established in the Torah as we examine the issues of idolatry and paganism as they were in the days of Yeshua and the apostles. Like with the rest of the Torah, the Jewish apostles would have been fully committed to keeping the prohibitions against Avodah Zarah. Yet they also had to deal with the fact that many formerly pagan Gentiles were now joining in the fellowship of Israel and the many issues that arose from this. Much of the anti-idolatry language in the apostolic writings is not directed at Jewish people, but to the new Jewish believers. It was they who were struggling to break off from their formerly pagan ways. As we learned in the last lecture, idolatry plagued Israel from the days of the judges all the way to the end of the Judean monarchy. But after the Babylonian captivity, it was a much different story. I'm sure there were some among the Judeans who struggled still with the temptations of paganism, but as a whole, the children of Israel had moved away from these abominations. When the people of Judah returned to their land, they had a renewed commitment to the ways of Torah. We read in the book of Ezra how the people confessed that they had been unfaithful to the covenant. In Ezra chapter 10, Shechaniah declares to Ezra, "We have been unfaithful to our God and have married foreign wives from the peoples of the land. Yet now there is hope for Israel in spite of this. So now let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and their children, according to the counsel of my Lord and of those who tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law." It is significant that the people put away their foreign wives because throughout the history of Israel, the practice of taking non-Israelite wives often led the people into Avodah Zarah. That they are still referred to as foreign probably indicates that they did not fully embrace the God of Israel and his ways. Therefore, this is a major step in Israel's move away from idolatry. Apparently, the Jewish people learned their lesson, and the reforms instituted by Ezra, including the public reading of the Torah and the formation of the synagogue system, stomped idolatry out. We see further evidence of this strong resistance to idolatry in the story of the Maccabees, where many Israelites preferred death rather than participate in any form of idolatrous ritual. Many of Israel's sages would be martyred for their belief in the one true God and their refusal to compromise on this issue. Hence, most of the rulings that we find in rabbinic literature are in regards to social contact with Gentiles and the danger that this brings, rather than chastisements for Jews worshiping idols. On the other hand, Gentile involvement in paganism was very real. The Greco-Roman world abounded in polytheism and idolatry, complete with its own temples, priesthood, sacrificial systems, shrines, and idols. Idol worship was so much a part of everyday life that it was connected with family, marriage, fertility, childbirth, agriculture, employment, education, social life, entertainment, athletics, politics, and social standing. Even food and drink were often offered to idols or shared with idols. Idolatry was virtually inescapable for someone immersed in the common culture. The ancient world believed that the gods had a direct impact on one's everyday life. Therefore, it was necessary to constantly please and placate the gods. Everything about the Greco-Roman world had the taint of idolatry. Additionally, pagan worship was also connected to immorality, such as idolatrous feasts, orgies, homosexuality, cross-dressing, and cult prostitution. Just like with the idolatrous practices in the days of the Hebrew Scriptures, idol worship went hand in hand with sensuality and lust. And it wasn't just outside the land of Israel. In the days of the apostles, several secularized, so to speak, Gentile cities actually existed in the land. There was Beit Shan, south of the Sea of Galilee, for example, a city of the Decapolis filled with idolatrous temples. Herod built Caesarea on the sea and dedicated a huge temple to the worship of Caesar and the Roman gods. The Jewish culture of the land of Israel lived in constant tension with the idolatrous culture of their Roman overlords. For example, Josephus tells us about when Herod put up the golden eagle of Rome on the temple, an event that led to a big riot. And on another occasion, Pilate brought idolatrous images of Rome into Jerusalem, which led to huge protests. And in the days of the apostles, Caligula ordered his image brought into Jerusalem for worship, which led to another big protest and civil disobedience. This conflict between paganism and Judaism was preparing the ground for the Jewish revolt. It was even more difficult for Jews living outside the land of Israel, and it most certainly caused the Jewish community to become more isolated from their Gentile neighbors. In Rome, you had to worship the state gods, including the emperor. It was illegal not to. Although the Roman government made it illegal to refuse to worship the state gods, they granted Jews an exemption. Jews did not have to worship the gods or the emperors, but anyone else who failed to do so was guilty by Roman law of the crime of atheism. The first century Gentile believers and early Christians, however, were not exempt because they were not Jewish. The Romans did not give them the same social pardon as the Jewish people. They required them to participate in idolatry. Since they did not formally convert to Judaism, the Romans regarded them as pagans. Their direct insubordination to the pagan rituals put them at risk with authorities and brought much suffering and persecution. Many early believers died because they refused to worship idols. Idolatry may have remained alluring for early Gentile believers, too. So much of their previous life had been so intimately intertwined with paganism, it would be difficult to make a clean break, especially in regards to their employment and family. Because of their former associations, the constant presence of idolatry was a major source of temptation for them to fall back into their old ways. It is against this backdrop that much of the discussion in the apostolic writings takes place, particularly in Paul's letters.